You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
We apologize that there were some technical difficulties this particular Sunday that caused us to miss the beginning of this sermon. Therefore, this recording picks up about 5 minutes into the sermon.
So this idea of reaping and sowing, we can say, as far as our standing before God goes, that God blesses us and forgives us way beyond what we deserve. But on a day-to-day basis, you get out of it what you put into it. So I've been working on my own special recipe for a special kind of ketchup. Got it here. I wanted to just let you in on a little bit. I've got my ketchup bottle. As you can get these at any store, we know that, you know, they come in a pair, right? Yellow and red. Red always means? Yellow always means? Okay, fantastic. So, I've been working on this this ketchup recipe, so I've got my special little label here. It's not quite finished yet. This is just a working label. Once I figure it all out, I'll get it patented and everything. But anyway, so I've got this special ingredients as well that that I've been tinkering with, and I'm going to show you what it is here. Like this. It's going to be awesome. You guys just wait. There we go. Some of you are looking a little skeptical. This is going to be some good ketchup. Just wait. Doggone it. Not working out exactly the same. It tastes a little funny. I don't get it. I mean, it's a ketchup bottle. Got a ketchup label. What? Why is there not ketchup coming out of it? I know you're like, okay, all right. You get what I'm saying, right? Because I don't care what you call it. I don't care what label you put on it. What you put into it is what you get out of it. And that's the way that this scripture is talking about. You reap what you sow. Because the reality is, we have to ask the question, what are we sowing in our day-to-day lives? What are we putting into the ground? What are we investing ourselves in on a day-to-day basis? What is the priority in our life? Are we sowing, as this scripture says, to the flesh? Are we sowing to the spirit? A few examples, maybe, from that song. The idea of sowing, for those of us that look at our priorities and we say, you know, work is a priority. Work is a real priority. And for some of us, work becomes such a priority that drive to be successful or that drive to do well in work, it dictates the whole schedule of our life. Because we have to work late day after day, and even on our day off, we're having to do some things that you know, for our job, or we have to constantly bring work home, and even when we're supposed to be home, we're really working, and what are we communicating to our family when that happens? What are we communicating to our children when we're saying, I don't have time to spend time with you today. I've got to get this work done. I'm sorry, I can't come to your ball game. I have to work late. I'm sorry that I can't be there for your recital, even though it's my day off because somebody else is absent and I've got to be there. What are we communicating? What are we sowing? And what are we going to reap from that? What about how we spend our time on a regular basis? What we do with our time? What about the media that we consume on a regular basis, whether it's TV or movies or computer or radio, whatever it is, the media? We need to ask ourselves, what is celebrated in the media that we consume? What is it? Is it? Do we fill ourselves full of things that are celebrating violence? They're celebrating sexuality, or promiscuity, or adultery, or manipulation, or greed, or substance abuse, or bickering and arguing. For a while, I've had to, you know, cut off talk radio. Some of you, I enjoy listening to talk radio, but the political atmosphere in our world is crazy right now this year. And everybody's just wanting to fight with one another constantly. And I find myself, I get angry, you know, I'm getting frustrated. And it's ruining my day, you know. And I'm like, I'm not even the one involved in this. And this is ruining my day already. Or depending on what I'm watching, what I'm listening to, what am I sowing in my life? What am I filling myself with? Filling my mind with, filling my heart with? Because that's the stuff that's going to come out. What about video games? What about those where we're playing video games? When you're role-playing in a video game, or what are you pretending to be? Are you pretending to be someone who kills indiscriminately, or someone who steals, or someone who's role-playing sexual relationships? Or what about those that really enjoy partying, how we spend our time? You know, when your relationships or your friendships are totally based on going out and having a few drinks and having a good time and dancing, what happens when the party's over? What happens when there's no drinks or the good times aren't good? You see, too often our relationships are so shallow because they're based on these superficial things, and they're unable to support us when life gets difficult. And then we start reaping the shallowness in our times of struggle. Or what about addictions, the way that they come up in our lives? Because almost all addictions begin with taking something that God has created as good, something that God wanted to have happen, wanted to be here, and perverting it and twisting it. Because we think, well, if a little of this makes me feel good, a lot of this should make me feel really good. And then we get into that cycle. We take this God-given desire for something, this God-given desire for connection, and we twist it into something that we want, not what God wants. And what often happens is that we begin to use whatever that addiction is, whether it's substances or food or sexuality or whatever, and we do that thing. When we feel bad, I got to go to my whatever that thing is. Or we feel depressed, so I need to cover that up with some more of this thing. And before long, we realize that we're doing it not only when we feel bad, but when we feel good, too, because we've become so disconnected from our emotions that we don't even know how to feel anymore, and we become disconnected from ourselves, and we become a slave to this addiction. How many of you have watched friends or family members descend into the hell of substance abuse? Right? Or yourself? If you've watched them give up everything they cared for, just for another drink or another hit. Or you've watched them lose their relationships with the people that are closest to them, or lose jobs, or lose a house, or lose a car, or the ability to take care of themselves. And you ask about it, and you hear things like, well, I'm not hurting anybody else. We know that's a lie. We know, because those lies begin to reap what they've sown. What about something we don't talk about too often? What about guys, what about pornography? What about if we fill your mind with images? Is it a surprise when your marriage suffers? When you sow that into your head, is it a surprise? Is it a surprise when you start feeling distant from your spouse? Is it a surprise that you don't communicate like you used to, or you don't have fun like you used to, or maybe you're fighting more than you were, or you're not being intimate with one another like you used to? Your wife just can't seem to compare to that fantasy that's in your head, because it's based on something that's unreal, something that's false, a corruption of what God had intended. Is it any surprise when we begin to reap what we've sown? That's not just for men, women too. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, the idea of fantasy, you know, just that perfect husband, that perfect other. The romance novel relationship that's out there, you know? The guy who says all the right things and does all the right things at all the right times to make you feel all the right ways. The guy who comes in and sweeps you off your feet day after day. Because when we spend our time meditating on those things, fantasizing on those things, is it any surprise when husbands just don't seem to measure up anymore? When wives don't seem to measure up anymore? When little things just get under our skin? When he forgets to take out the trash or put the toilet seat down or pick up his dirty socks, and that turns into this major fight because now he doesn't measure up to this idea in my head. Are we surprised when communication breaks down? What about the idea of food, right? You're like, what? Food? Food's an addiction that our nation struggles with. The idea of comfort food, right? I love some comfort food. Makes me feel good. You know, some chocolate, some ice cream, some cake, some custard, some pie. Cheesecake's my favorite. But some comfort food. But what happens when our emotions become so tied and connected to that food that every time we feel bad, every time we're down, every time we're depressed, we've got to have that food to soothe it? And what happens when we stop dealing with our issues and we just mask it with food? What happens to our bodies? What happens to our relationships when the strongest relationship we have is to food or drink or pornography or something else? Now look, I'm not saying that all of these things in and of themselves are bad necessarily. Some are, but not all of them necessarily. But just because something isn't a sin doesn't mean that the natural harvest or the natural consequence is helpful or is healthy for us. We have to be careful because the scripture says you reap what you sow. You get out of it what you put into it. So let's look at the flip side. What are we sowing? What do we want to sow as a people? How are we sowing love in our lives? How are you sowing love? How do you treat each person that comes across your path on a daily basis? How do you treat those people that don't deserve to be treated well? Those people who are on the margins of society, who don't seem, in society's eyes, to deserve to be treated well. How do you treat your enemies? Who are you showing compassion to? How are you feeding the hungry? How are you clothing the naked? How are you visiting the sick? How are you going and sitting with those who are in prison? How are you doing that? Because these are the seeds of love that the Scripture calls us to sow. How are we sowing in our families? Let me ask you, how are you investing in your children? Are you spending quality time with them? Are you talking to them? Are you listening to them? Do you know what's going on in their life, in their school, in their friends? Do you know what they're struggling with? You know what hurts they're carrying around on a daily basis? What about our relationships with our spouses? Are you still dating your spouse? Have you said, 10 years of marriage, I got this thing figured out. Good enough. No. We've got to continually grow in that relationship, continue to date, continue to spend time together. For those of you that are married, do you have a date night? A weekly date night where you go out together and you say to your spouse, I am just focused on you tonight. We're not going to talk about the children. We're not going to talk about all the problems at the house. We're not going to talk about the to-do list. We're going to focus on each other. How are you doing? What is going on in your life? Investing in our relationship, sowing seeds that will bring harvest in our relationship. What are we sowing in terms of our spiritual life? Do we want to be strong Christians? Do we want to be strong followers of Christ? Well, what are we sowing to do that? Are we sowing time in the Scripture on a daily basis? Are we sowing time of prayer with God each and every day? Are we sowing times of worship? Are we spending times taking a Sabbath day of rest just to spend with God? Times of silence. Times with community, with fellowship, with one another. Times of confession, of going to someone else that you trust and say, I just need to tell somebody what's going on in my heart and in my life. I'm struggling. Are we sowing seeds of fasting? What are we sowing? Because you get out of it what you put into it. You reap what you sow. A few weeks ago, the leadership of Ecclesia got together and we were talking about where the church is, and we came up with a list of values that we said, we had a whole list around the walls here, and we were saying these are the ones that really are who we are as a church. And we came up with six things that we said we felt like these were pretty good about who we are as a church. So I'm going to, here we go, some values here. Said first value said Bible-centered preaching and teaching. That as a church, we value, this is who we are, we value Scripture. We value that it is at the centerpiece of our community, that we return to Scripture, that it becomes our guide in all of our worship and all of our teaching, all of our preaching. We value godly servant leadership, people who will lead by example, those who are put in place who are going to lead with the way that they live their life by example. We said we value authentic worship, not just coming and going through the motions on a regular, but coming in and authentically having a time of worship with God, a time where we can be honest. Sometimes coming to God and saying, you know, I'm ticked off today. That's okay because I'm here. You know, I'm still here. I don't just take that, my ticked offness, and say, well, I'm not coming to that place anymore. No, we bring that into worship. We're honest and authentic, trying to be. We value the poor and the disenfranchised, those who are on the margin, those who society says, you know, look, we give up on them. No, we value because Jesus valued them. Jesus reached out to those. We value strong families. Families that have Christ at the center of them. That are growing and are strong. We value, and finally, warm fellowship. These were the things that we identified. We value this community, this family that God is creating here. And so we looked at these, said we believe these are who we are. Or some, you know, maybe there's other things too, but this is a good start for us. And as we were doing that, I said, let's think about these though. Are these things that we say are descriptions of our community? Or are some of these things aspirations for our community? Things we want to be, but we're not quite there yet. And we had to honestly say there were some of those that we say, we want to be this, but we're not there yet. And we're moving towards that. We want to work in that direction. So the question is, if this is what we want to be, and again, we could add some other things to this, but as a general rule, if this is what we want to be, what are we planting right now to get there? If this is the harvest we want to see, what are we planting to get there? Because these things are not going to happen by accident. Godly lives don't just happen by accident. We don't just trip and say, oh, man, look at this. I look like Jesus now. No. If we want to have godly lives, we have to sow the seeds of godliness. If we want to have a godly, thriving church, we have to sow seeds of godliness. We have to sow things. We have to do the hard work of planting and watering and tending and weeding and fertilizing. And if we want to see this harvest, because as the scripture we read this morning reminds us, let us not grow weary in doing good. In due season, you will reap. We don't give up. So if you hear nothing else, hear this today. Don't give up, church. Don't give up. Keep working. Keep trusting. Keep sowing. Keep planting. We serve the Lord of the harvest. So let us sow generously, bountifully, but let us sow good seed. Let us sow with purpose. Let us sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Because for all of us, we're going to get out of it what we put into it. We reap what we sow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of your word and the way that it convicts us, Lord. Because if we look at our lives, we have to all be honest, Lord, to say that there are places that we have reaped exactly what we've sown, and it's not been good. That we've reaped the consequences of our poor choices. We've reaped the consequences of our sin. That there are natural consequences in this world. But Lord, let us not lose sight of the reality that in Jesus Christ we have been forgiven. That in Jesus Christ we have not been given ultimately what we deserve. But that in Christ, He took on our sin. He took on our failure and gave us His righteousness. Therefore, let us move forward in lives that have been forgiven, continuing to sow good seed, to continue to sow seeds of godliness. Help us to invest in our children, to sow those seeds so that we will reap a harvest of rich relationships with them. Help us to sow the seeds of our marriages and our other relationships, Lord, that we would continue to put a value on that so that we might reap a harvest of strong families. Help us to sow seeds of love for every person that crosses our path, Lord. Help us to sow the seed of spending time with you daily, of listening to your word and allow it to come alive in our lives so that we might reap lives that look like Jesus Christ. Lord, give us courage. Help us to not grow weary as we do good, because in your time, we know we will reap a harvest. So help us to work diligently and trust that you are going to bring the harvest in your time. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.